Happy Easter, family. Happy Easter. How y'all doing today? Can I have all y'all stand up? Welcome to The Rock Church. My name is Miles McPherson, pastor of The Rock Church. Welcome all our first-time guests. All our first-time guests, raise your hand. Let's give them a big hand. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is Easter, the day we celebrate and honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the Super Bowl World Series Final Four Stanley Cup of Christianity. Can I get amen? Amen. But here's the difference. We've already won the game 1,000-0. It's a shutout. It's over. We have victory. Amen. Come on. I was doing an interview on Channel 10 this morning, and they said, what's the significance of the resurrection? The whole Bible and the truth and the validity of the Bible rest on, did Jesus rise from the dead? In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we have no hope. And so everything rides on this. That's why it's so critical. And thank you for coming today, and pray that God would bless you and speak to you mightily. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. I just pray you bless everyone here. Bless all the people watching at all our campuses, all around San Diego, in Oahu. We pray you bless and encourage the first-time guests that we have today. And Lord, speak to us. Encourage us. Let us have a spiritual reset today. That today is going to be the first day of the rest of our life, and that we would be willing to voluntarily, enthusiastically worship you, because you are worthy of our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell someone next to you that Jesus is worthy of your worship. You may be seated. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and all y'all look so good. Y'all look good. Some better than others. We can't all equally be the same, you know what I'm saying? I want you to imagine you're having a conversation with somebody. This is you, this is the other person. And in the midst of this conversation, they bring up a person named John. And you say, I know some Johns. And then they say, this John has an afro, he's 6'3", has a chocolate chip mole on his face. You're like, I know a John that's 6'3", with an afro and a chocolate chip mole on his face. And they say, he lives on Maple Street. I know a John with a chocolate chip mole on his face and an afro and 6'3", lives on Maple Street. But you cannot be describing the John that I know. Because the John you're describing is very intelligent. The John I know is not that intelligent. The John you're describing has a great sense of humor. The John I know is very boring. The John you're describing is very educated, got 3 degrees. I didn't know that John had 3 degrees. And you think you're actually talking about two different people, and you feel like you need to go back and reintroduce yourself to John to make sure you got everything out of John, what he has to offer. A lot of times when you talk to people about Jesus, they start describing a Jesus that you don't know. Now, either the Jesus they're describing to you is more incredible, more supernatural, more loving, more forgiving, more involved in their life than yours, or the opposite. The Jesus they're describing is religious and condemning and critical. When we talk about Jesus Christ, we have to understand who we're talking to and what is the evidence that you have really met Jesus. Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, there were several people who encountered him, and there was a common theme in these people's response when they met Jesus. And it is evidence that when you meet Jesus, this has to happen in your life. And if you think you know him, but you don't have this kind of spirit, you might want to step back and reevaluate how well do you really know him. And the common thread, the common response to these people who met Jesus after he rose from the dead is that they worshiped him. So today I want to encourage you, as we talk about the resurrected Savior, we're going to talk about the resurrection and all that, but at the end of the day, every single one of these people that met him worshiped him. He wasn't just their friend. He wasn't their homeboy. You know, they got these shirts that say, Jesus is my homeboy. I don't know what that means, but you better be bowing down to your homeboy. I don't know homeboys that you bow down to. He's not your equal. He's our Savior. Can I get amen? And until he's your Savior that you bow down to, which is one thing we're going to talk about, till you are astonished with at his supernatural power, and someone, a Savior that you're willing to say to him, what do you want me to do? If you are not obeying him, you are not worshiping him, he is not your Lord. He's a religious figure. So that's going to be my challenge to you today, is that you would say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Everyone say that when we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Fabulous. Let's read. Context is that Jesus came on the scene about 2,000 years ago. He lived 33 years. His last 3 years were ministry. And during his 3 years of ministry, he was preparing the world for him to die and rise from the dead and go to heaven. And what he did multiple times is that he would tell people that he was God in so many different ways. People will say, Jesus never said he was God. Oh, for sure he did. One, he forgave sin. Only God can forgive sin. He clearly said, your sins are forgiven. And the religious who knew only God can forgive sin said he was lying, blasphemous. He also accepted worship. Jesus himself told Satan, you shall worship and serve God and serve him only. Jesus accepted worship. People came up to him and worshiped him at his feet. Lepers worshiped him. People who were being healed worshiped him. Demons came up. Demon-possessed people came and fell down. And the demons said, we know who you are, the Son of the Christ, Son of God. Please don't torment us. They understood who he was. Jesus said he was going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus said he was going to come on the clouds from the heavens and judge the world. Jesus said that salvation rested on what he said. So multiple times in multiple different ways, Jesus said, I am God. Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, you listen to what I say. He said, the Old Testament said this, but here's what I say. He took the place of God multiple times all through the Gospels. But the one claim that he made, which was the most bodacious, y'all know that word, bodacious? you can't say bodacious without a little attitude. The most bodacious claim he said is that I am going to die. The religious are going to kill me. I'm going to be buried. And on the third day, I'm going to get up. Now, me, Miles McPherson can tell you, oh, worship me and I forgive your sin. And hey, I'm going to come in the clouds. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. I can make all those kind of bodacious claims. Means nothing. Anybody can say anything. Jesus said, okay, maybe you didn't believe all that. When you kill me, don't buy the tomb. Just get a 3-day rental. That's the first Airbnb, right? Airbnb, whatever that is. All you gotta do is rent it for 3 days. All right, 3 days. Don't buy it. It's like someone dying and say, don't buy the coffin, just rent the coffin. I'm only needed for 3 days. Don't put me low in the ground because I gotta get up. He said, in 3 days, I'm coming out. So if you had any doubt that Jesus was Lord, you could just wait 3 days. That ain't a long time. And if he don't get up, then everything he said was invalidated. But what if he got up? Well, I was in Israel with Pastor Travis. I was in Israel with our team in September, October. We actually left to come home the day the war started. We actually saw the bombs from the plane, which was a trip. And as we were flying out of Israel, the plane did that. I mean, it was whoa, God. But we went into the tomb and he's not there. No one's been able to produce a body. So he has risen from the dead. Can I get an amen? Come on, church. So, he rose from the dead, walked around, ascended to heaven. So, if you don't let it impact your life, it does nothing for you. So, we want to make sure it goes from here to here. So, let's look at the people who worship him. Then, we're going to talk about what worship really means, because it is not limited to singing. As a matter of fact, you can be singing in church with your hands up and not be worshiping. You go to any concert, they worship, they got the little phones and they're doing all this and they're worshiping the band and it's great. We're having a great kumbaya with all these thousands of people. You ain't worshiping Jesus. And so we wanna make sure that we understand what worship is, because a resurrected Savior does you no good unless you bow down to him and he changes your life. Let's look at these. Mary worshiped him. Mary had 7 demons in her and he cast those demons out and she ended up being one of his disciples. It says, as they went to tell his disciples, the women, as the women went to tell the men came to the tomb, the men were hiding. The women came to the tomb, the men were hiding. Ladies, can I get an amen? The women came to the tombs, we gonna go take care of his body. The men were hiding. And it says, as they went to tell the disciples that that the tomb was empty, Jesus met them and he said, rejoice. So they came to him and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Everyone say, worshiped him. The disciples, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Say, worshiped him. The one that doubted was Thomas. Look what happened to Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Thomas answered when Jesus appeared to them in the house. Thomas was talking smack. He didn't really rise from the dead. Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and the nail prints in his feet, unless I touch his side where they stuck the spear, I ain't gonna believe. So they're in the house and Thomas is talking smack. The doors are closed. Jesus does this. He doesn't button his jacket because he didn't have a jacket. He had a little robe and he just walks through the wall. It says the door was closed. The door was closed. And wanted you to know that. He just, hey, right through the wall. And he went right up to Thomas and said, Thomas, you've been talking smack. Look at my hands. That's the Bible. The Bible would be breaking people down. It'd be telling you some details that are really important. He said, Thomas, I know you've been talking about me. He didn't say that. He just implied it because he said, here's my hands. Touch my side. Exactly. John 20:28, Thomas answered and said, my Lord, my God. He worshiped him. The men on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus rose from the dead, two men were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus rolled up next to them, started talking to them. They didn't know it was Jesus until he started opening the scriptures to them, and the scriptures opened their eyes. And it says, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? They worshiped him. They had a response to acknowledge his incredible supernatural value. Is Jesus just another thing? Is church just another thing? Or is he a God who is worthy of worship? We all worship different things. We worship our money. We worship our body. We worship our education. We worship law enforcement. We worship different things, politics. We worship governments. God said, nothing can you worship and should you worship more than me, because he is our creator. We're gonna look at Acts chapter 9. The apostle Paul, before his name was Paul, his name was Saul. Everyone say Saul. Saul was a Jew. Saul would arrest Christians and bring them to be beaten and killed. This is the Apostle Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And he was persecuting Christians. And he's on his way to get Christians from a synagogue, and the resurrected Jesus is going to appear to him. And he is going to show us what worship means by his response. This is Jesus' enemy. And he is gonna respond in a way that ascribes value and power and authority to Jesus. And this is gonna be our challenge today, that we come and celebrate and acknowledge, yes, Jesus rose from the dead today. But we acknowledge that the fact that he rose from the dead makes him more worthy of my worship and our worship than anything or anyone else. And so here's Paul, at the time, his name is Saul. The Bible says in verse 3, chapter 9, Acts, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone or shined around him from heaven. He fell to the ground. Everyone say fell to the ground. Oh, when's the last time you fell to the ground in front of God? And just bowed. Number one, he bowed. Let's keep going. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? In other words, I'm a bad man, and the only person that could throw me to the ground must be God. He said, who are you, Lord? And he said, yes, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads or the cactus. And trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Everyone say bow. Bow. Say everyone say bow. Bow. Say be astonished. Be astonished. Say obedience. You want to worship God? First bow. Put yourself in a position of respect. A position ready to obey God. When we come in here and worship, whether you vibe with the music or not, when we worship in song, there's different kinds of worship. When we worship in song, our position needs to be, I am declaring the truths of God over my life, and I am in the presence of God, and my physical, emotional, mental posture needs to be one of humility before God. Can you imagine every day you woke up and you were getting ready to conquer your day, but the first thing you did was you humbled yourself before God. And you say, Lord, I am ready to do whatever you want me to do. I acknowledge that today is your day. I acknowledge that I belong to you, but I am humble before you. I humble myself before your wisdom. I humble myself before your power. I humble myself before your love. I humble myself before your plan for my life. I bow down before you. In sports, there's a thing called a ready position. Ready position is when baseball, basketball, football, soccer, whatever. Ready position is where you put yourself in an athletic position and you're balanced. You can go left, right, left, back, straight, forward, whatever it is. This is called a ready position. So whenever you're in sports, you say, get in a ready position. Everyone's ready. But if you're standing around like this, you can't do anything. You can't, if I'm gonna throw a football to you, or baseball, I say get in a ready position, you gotta do like this. There's a physical athletic apparatus called a BOSU ball. And it's, you just imagine a big beach ball cut in half, and you put a platform on the right in the middle, so it's like a half of an apple. And the bottom of it is plastic with air. And so you can stand on it, but it's moving like this. And it tests your balance. So I have one in my house and I put my grandson on it and he's balancing like this. And then I threw a ball at him different ways. Threw a ball over here, throw a ball over here to see if I could throw him, get him to fall off, to see it balance. And I threw, the first ball I threw to him was like a pound. So he's on the ball and he's moving like this and he catch the ball. And he got used to it where he was like, bam, 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 bam. Oh, okay, okay. So I got this medicine ball that was 12 pounds. Now, he weighs about 13 pounds. So I'm basically throwing at him his twin brother, right? So he's on the ball. I'm like, you better get in a ready position. You gotta get ready. Cause this is gonna knock, this thing is heavy. So I was like, boom. And he's like, boom. And then I throw it over here. And then he finally got that balance. What if God says, I'm getting ready to throw you a blessing? And you ain't ready. You walk around, like, hey, we're going to work. I don't know what it's going to happen. Hey. And bam, it hits you in the head. But here's your position. Your position. Worship is our posture here at the Rock. Yes. That you have a posture in your heart of humility before God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the respect of God. God, I have a situation. I don't know how to answer it. By the way, God, I have a situation. I think I know how to answer it. But I want to know your wisdom. So number one, you have to bow down. I want to say bow down. If the Jesus you know is not worthy of you bowing, you don't know the Jesus that resurrected from the grave. Number two is be astonished at his power. Paul's like, what the, is that light talking from me from heaven? God is a supernatural God. I want you to think about whatever problem you have in your life. You have anxiety, you have depression, you're suicidal, you got bills you gotta pay tomorrow. You got baby kids running around your house. You got a man, or a woman, you wanna get out of your house. And you don't know how you're gonna get them out. You got a job issue. Whatever it is your problem, you got family members stressing you out. Whatever your problem is, you have no clarity about who you are. You just get up and go to work. One of my best friends growing up, it breaks my heart. He's like my brother. He said, I hate my life. I go to work, I hate my job. I got a house, I hate my house. He just wants a guy and go to heaven. That's sad. Whatever your life is, that you can believe that God can come into your life and bring hope and light. I have a sermon, I'm not gonna preach it now, but I have a sermon called, what was Jesus at his best? What was the most incredible thing Jesus did? And I'm not gonna tell you the whole thing, obviously we don't have any time, but it wasn't when he was born of a virgin, it wasn't when he died on the cross, and it wasn't when he rose from the dead. It's when he changed your life. It's when God can come into a human life, and this is the best miracle of the Lord. The best miracle of God is that God can take a jacked up person, and I'll represent that jacked up person physically, but emotionally, mentally, you're like just jacked. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what your purpose is. Your life is just a mess, and God can make you sane and give you clarity and give you purpose. That this God is, that's what Jesus wants to do when you ask him into your heart, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that created the heavens and the earth could actually live inside your soul. I was watching a video today that said if you could travel the speed of light, how long would it take you to get to the moon? I think it was like 1.3 seconds. How long would it take you to get to the sun? I think it was 10 minutes. But how long would it take you to get to the end of the universe? If you could travel at the speed of light, how long would it take you to get to the end of the universe? They said you would never get there. Because the universe is traveling faster than the speed of light. It's expanding faster than the speed of light. Glory to God. God stretches out the heavens. That God lives inside of you. Now, here's the miracle, that you could even believe that. Because some of y'all sitting there going, I can't even comprehend that. For sure you can't, because it's bigger than your mind. That's the thing, is that God can that spiritually reveal to you his awesome power and his awesome plan for your life. And that you would go home and say, God, I want that. And God would say, I'm just going to give you a little bit because you can't handle all of it. And you cry out to God. And you say, God, I believe in your supernatural power. When he healed the blind man, the blind man said, listen, I don't know about all that stuff about who Jesus is, but all I can tell you is I was blind, now I see. Here's what God wants you to see, who you are. He wants you to see who you are so clearly that you get up every day and say, God, let's go. Let's go. I'm so excited about what you have for my life. I'm not, churches where I get filled up again, I'm going to go out and take on the world, take on the devil again. And so God wants to do that supernatural work in your heart. So worshiping him is bowing down. Worshiping him, saying, Lord, I believe in the impossible in your life. When Mary was told she was going to have Jesus as a baby, she said, I've never been with a man. And God said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. That God can do something impossible in your life. Say impossible. Number three, that you would say, God, what do you want me to do? Paul said to Jesus when he was on the ground, what do you want me to do? In other words, I'm willing to obey you. To love God is to obey God. To love God is to obey God. It has nothing to do with feeling. How many of y'all have some, well, we all got family in our life, family and friends that you love. If you got family and friends you love, raise your hand. Okay, very good. Yes, it should be all of us, okay? Some of y'all are like, nope. Can't stand none of them fools, okay? You don't always feel it though, do you? Nope, you don't need it. It got nothing to do. Love has nothing. I shouldn't say it has nothing to do with feelings. Love is not restricted by feelings. Sometimes when me and my wife have a little disagreement, and we'll kind of make up and say I love you, and whoever says I love you first, the other person's on the clock. Now they got to say it. And if you say I love you, that's not an emotional, inspiring kind of love. But the fact that we love each other is a fact that doesn't change. To love God is not about your feelings. It's about your obedience. The Bible says to love God is to obey God. Here's what Paul said. God, what do you want me to do? If you can go home today and every day and say, Lord, I bow before you. I acknowledge that you are more powerful than me, wiser than me. What do you want me to do? And if every day that's all you did, he would say, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray. I want you to go to church on time. I want you to go to church every week. Not just twice a year, three times a year, once a month. I want you to get rid of those friends. I want you to turn off that pornography. He'll just tell you. He'll guide you one step at a time. As a matter of fact, next week we're starting a series called The Way, where we are going to teach you through a discipleship pathway to get to be who God called you to be. This is our discipleship pathway that we're launching out to you and launching in the church, and we want you to come and learn how you can step by step become the person God called you to be. In a second, I'm gonna give you opportunity to take the first step, which is surrendering your life to Jesus. That you're gonna say to God, God, no, you'll say, I appreciate it though. No, you're good, I appreciate it. You are going to say in a minute, God, I want to give my life to you. And I want you to transform me into the person that you created me to be. A lot of y'all have accepted Christ before, but some of you have never asked Christ to be your Savior. And he wants to come live in your heart. The Spirit of God wants to come live in your heart and open up the eyes of your heart that you may see who you are, see who he is, and what he wants to do in your life. That this Easter you would have this real encounter with the risen Savior, where he's actually living inside of you and transforming you from the inside out. So I'm gonna ask all y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. If you believe that you are a sinner, the Bible says all have sinned, and you believe that the penalty of sin is death, the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. But you also believe that God loves you. He died on the cross for your sin. He rose from the dead. And as a risen Savior, he's alive, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, praying for you, and wants to have a relationship with you and transform your life. If you believe that and you would like to invite him into your heart and surrender your life to him, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that you died and rose from the dead for me. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Please forgive me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing up, you are resurrecting from your old life to a new life. And you're going to walk out of your tomb today into a whole new future. So wherever you are on any of the campuses, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand on the count of three. And you are going to make a public declaration by standing that you are surrendering your life to Jesus. So if you prayed that prayer, on the count of three, stand to your feet. One, two, three. God bless you. 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 Stay standing. Stay standing. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now I'm going to ask all y'all who are standing, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. If you're in a balcony, all you got to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. And the rest of us, we want to celebrate them, not leave. We want to celebrate them so we can get them down here, and then we'll have communion. So if you're standing up, come out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand. Come on down. Come on, church. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, let's keep clapping for them. They're cheering in heaven. Who's the man? What's up, my brother? How you doing? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good, good, good. Hello, how are you? ¿Cómo está acá? Let's go! If you don't have one of these cups, just raise your hand. God bless you. If you don't have one of these cups, raise your hand really high and look around you. They're going to give you a cup. I want to encourage y'all to come next week and start this series with us called The Way. If you ever want to know what God wants you to do and how you're going to get there, next 4 weeks is going to be that for you. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given it, he broke it and said, take, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We take this remembering that Jesus died a physical death for us. It wasn't theoretical. He was murdered for us. The least we can do is obey him and trust him. Lord, we thank you that you gave your life for us. We acknowledge that you died. You were murdered. We take this remembering that you require us now to die to ourselves. Pick up our cross and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.